Thank you, Terry. In your bulletins, you can check that if you haven't already. This Friday night will be our paint night, so if you're interested in that, the information is in the bulletin, and you can see Beverly Farnham about that. As Dad pulled into the driveway, he saw his young daughter sitting on the front steps. That wasn't unusual. She was usually there, but normally she would come bounding down the steps and run and jump into his arms and welcome him home from work. But on this day, she didn't do that. She just sat on the steps with her elbows on her knees and her face in her hands, looking to the ground, shaking her head. It was easy to tell something was wrong. When Dad got up to his daughter, he said, "What's wrong, honey?" "Dad, why do I say such stupid things?" "What do you mean?" "Well, you know that new girl at school, Karen? Everybody likes her, and everybody wants to be her friend, and everybody's talking to her. Well, today we got our essay scores back, and she got a higher score than I did. And it made me so mad. Everybody was saying how smart she was and how intelligent she was, and didn't even talk to me. Well, at recess time, I decided to tell everybody that she stole something from Toby's desk. She didn't, but I knew people would turn on her, and they did. They started saying, 'Karen is a thief, Karen is a thief.' It made me feel so good. And then coming home on the bus, I heard other kids on the bus talking about Karen, about how they couldn't trust her and she would take things from anybody. And then I started feeling bad because I knew the reason they were saying that is because of what I'd said. I didn't mean for it to go that far, Dad. I don't know what to do." "I think you do, honey." "Yeah, I guess I do. I guess tomorrow I need to go to Karen and apologize and tell the class that she really didn't steal anything." "That's right. As hard as it is, that's what you need to do. But I need you to do one more thing for me. I need you to walk across the street to that empty lot, and I need you to pick one of those dandelion flowers, and I need you to bring it back to me." And so his daughter, with her head down, went and got the dandelion flower, very carefully brought it back. "Now, I want you to blow all the seeds off the dandelion, blow as hard as you can." And she blew and she watched the seeds just flutter into the wind and out of sight. And then Dad said, "Now I need you to do one more thing. I need you to go get all those seeds and bring them back. And let's see if we can put them back on." "Oh, Dad, I can't do that. That's impossible. They've gone everywhere. I won't even be able to find one of them." "Well, honey, that's the way it is when we talk about people. We say things and it just goes everywhere. And even when we try to get it all together and bring it back, the damage is still done. So the next time you start thinking about somebody and you want to say something mean or call somebody a name, I want you to remember the dandelion." James chapter 3 in your Bibles today. James gives us a lot of practical advice for life. In our last study, 2 weeks ago, we just looked at the first verse of James chapter 3, and I'm going to look at the following verses in this passage this morning. James chapter 3, verse 1. "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly." Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I just want to briefly mention it this morning. There's a tremendous obligation and responsibility laid upon those who take God's word and teach it to others. And whether that's an adult ministry, whether it's a children's ministry, whether it's the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or the children's church worker or the youth worker on Wednesday nights or in whatever venue you might teach God's word, it's a tremendous responsibility. Put the time and the effort and the study in because you're representing God in what you say. And one day you're going to be looked at in a stricter way by the Lord because of the awesome responsibility it is to handle and share God's word. After that, James says, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongue, we would be perfect." And the word there doesn't mean sinless, but it means mature and complete. If we could control our tongues, we would be mature individuals who could control ourselves in every other way. If we can control our tongues, there's nothing that we couldn't control. That's the hardest. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting the entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and fish, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises the Lord our Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursings come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this ought not to be. James is writing to the 12 tribes that have been scattered abroad. And I don't know what he had heard or what had been said, but something prompted his thoughts. No doubt the Holy Spirit, of course, played a part in that. To address the issue of the tongue. And it's not just in this chapter. We saw it a little bit in chapter 1. We're going to see it throughout this book. Our speech and the words that we say in our conversations can do great benefit or great damage. And James here talks about the fact that our words can be like a deadly poison. Let that sink in. Set on fire by hell itself. Our words can be very destructive, is what James says. And in one part of this passage, he says you need to control your tongue. And then later on he says, the tongue no man can tame. Well, which is it? Do you want us to control it or can't we control it? That's what we want to look at today. Now, it's very clear that James is making an analogy here between how small our tongue is in comparison to our body and what great things, good and bad, it can do. But understand, the issue is not really our tongue, though we voice words that way. The issue is the heart. Listen to what Luke says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You've probably heard people say this. I've seen it on the news more. Well, you know, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, you did. It was in your heart. Now, I'm not saying that we can't misspeak. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we misspeak and we get our words wrong or what we said was not interpreted the way we meant it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sometimes when we say things that we've been thinking about, we've been mulling over toward a situation or a legislation or an individual, and finally, in the heat of the moment, we just say that poisonous, flamed by hell speech that's in our heart. And then we want to act like, well, I didn't mean that. No, that's what you really are in your heart. It's just become public. And so James talks about that. I was watching the news one morning when I got up. It's been a couple weeks ago. And there was an interview on the news with a lady by the name of Gracie Gold. I had never heard of her. She is a figure skater. And in 2014 and 2016, she won a national championship. This wasn't the Olympics. She did compete in the Olympics in 2014, and her team won the bronze medal. She's won some other medals along the way. So a very accomplished figure skater that has reached high levels in the world of sports. And in the interview, she said, "You know, one day my coach said to me, 'Gracie, your butt's getting a little big.'" And as I listened to the interview, I realized how that phrase by that coach put her on a downward spiral to the point that she was just about ready to give up figure skating, and she did for a while. In the interview, she said, "There was a time in my life when my day would consist of 3 cups of coffee and a tomato." And I thought, one comment, maybe not really meant to hurt, but just something that the coach had noticed. Maybe he should have said it, maybe he should, well, there's no doubt he shouldn't have said it, but maybe it could have been said a little bit differently. But anyway, she took that and it just affected her life. The lady that was interviewed on ABC News a couple weeks ago said, "I heard that you had put paper, brown paper, over your mirrors so you couldn't see yourself in the mirror." She said, "Yeah, I detested to look at myself and I was binging so that I wouldn't." Have you seen a figure skater? Do you know one that weighs over 70 pounds? I mean, come on. They're like jockeys, you know. "I feel pretty fat today." "Yeah, you're up to about 80. And yet, she went to therapy and tried to deal with her eating disorders by one comment. And I thought about that as I was preparing this message, as I was looking over it a couple weeks ago, and as I heard that on television, I realized our mouth can be full of deadly poison. We can say things to people that can just pull the rug out from under them. We can say things to people and we can turn them off to church and to Christianity because of the way we talk. There are a lot of waitresses who say that Sunday is the worst day in their work week because they've got to deal with Christians coming in after church complaining about the meal. Those words. They can give life. They can take life. They can build up. They can tear down. They can inspire. They can depress. We've got to be careful with our words. We're so careless with them. And James says, it's like a deadly poison. It's so destructive. You see, take a big Clydesdale horse. We used to see them. Was it the Coke commercials that used to have the Clydesdale? Just wanted to see where our drinkers were in the church today. The big Clydesdales. A little piece of metal in their mouth, over their tongue, controls that big beast. Take a ship, a cruise ship, massive ship, thousands of people. And yet that little rudder controls that boat and turns it. I've got a book of matches here, and if I were to take one of these matches off of here, and you probably can't even hardly see it. Maybe you can just see the red tip, and if I were to take that and strike the match and throw it in a dry pile of leaves. We've seen this on television where thousands and thousands of acres in California are burned, and homes and things you've collected all of your life in just a few moments are gone because of a careless match or somebody smoking and throwing their cigarette out or not properly putting out their campfire. Can you imagine that burning miles and miles or being the cause of a fire that would destroy thousands and thousands of acres and homes and lives? It's just a little match. And James says our tongue is just such a little part of who we are. And yet what it can do is be almost beyond belief. If you were told growing up, "I wish you were never born. I hate you." That affects young people. That affects your self-image. That affects your life. I read a statement the other day, and I wrote it down. It said, Be careful what you say. You can say something in 10 seconds, but 10 years later, the wounds are still there. And some of you can maybe think of things that were said to you growing up. Oh, you got glasses, four eyes, ha, 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 and it hurt inside. Or they said something about your braces, or they said something about your weight, or they said something about your family. And even though you sort of laughed it off because everybody else was laughing, you still hurt from that. And if somebody somehow gets near that wound in your heart, it sort of reopens it and you feel that pain again. And I think that's why James says you need to understand that your words, they're like a fire from hell that has great destructive power if you don't control it. Listen to, I want to just share some verses, and as I was putting the message together, I thought I just need to share some verses and let the Holy Spirit work on the heart. Now, if you're thinking, boy, I know who needs this, I hope you point your finger at yourself. Listen to what James says. When words are many, I said, James, this is Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. I'm just going to tell you what I think. Well, you're a fool. I can't believe you said that. I didn't. God did. We'll look at that in just a minute. If you know somebody that wants to talk all the time about situation, sooner or later, they're going to get into an area they shouldn't get into. And with many of words, when people go on and on and on, sin is not absent. It's going to show itself pretty soon. If you do not go through your week and this doesn't happen to you, then you need to re-examine your heart. You know, I shouldn't say that. That's the Holy Spirit. I can't think of a week that goes by in my life when I'm thinking, well, I need to say this. And the Holy Spirit says, no, you don't either. Well, if you think it, you should say it. Where did you hear that? That is a lie from the pit of hell. Temptation is not a sin. Yielding to temptation is. So there's times you're going to think things and you're going to say things that you just need to hold your tongue and control what you say. But no man can tame the tongue. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. These papers are in the back. Pick one up if you want to get these verses if you're not writing them down. Anyone who loves to quarrel loves sin. Did you come to church this morning trying to find something wrong? I mean, you come with a critical spirit. And even before you came in the doors, can't believe it's so hot in here. It's so cold in here. These seats are so hot in here. I can't believe that this... If you love to quarrel, you love to sin. Let me tell you what was wrong with the wild game dinner last night. I came to the wild game dinner. I hadn't been in several years. Tell you what I saw wrong. That's it. Didn't see anything wrong. Could there have been something done better or changed? Probably. I wasn't looking for that. I'll tell you what I did see. Well-organized machinery. People setting up tables, welcoming everybody, everything done decently in order, good food, good fellowship, good speakers. Now, if I wanted to, my night could have been a whole lot different last night. I could have come in and said, it's raining outside, got wet coming in here. Why didn't y'all have somebody with umbrellas outside to bring me inside? Y'all don't know I'm the preacher. I had to park over here at the end. Why don't they have a spot for me up front? And look at that stuff. Look at these beans. Did you hear what some of the things Sammy Chalfin said last night? I can't believe he'd say some of that stuff in church. And then Sam up there with that hat on. Can you believe he'd wear a hat in church? He was saying, it's the gym, but but the church is it. Some people are like that. They just want to complain. They just want to find something wrong. Proverbs talks about that. Anyone who loves to quarrel loves sin. I don't want to be around people like that, do you? Negative, complaining, argumentative. Nothing's right, everything's wrong. Go on an island by yourself and leave me alone. Watch your tongue. Now, that doesn't mean watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. Now, Solomon, I can't believe you'd say that. And then you'll stay out of trouble. Well, your words, your conversation can get you into trouble. There's people at your work, they get in trouble with the boss all the time because they mouth off all the time. Some of them even got fired. You may have even got fired sometime in your life because you mouthed off about something. Keep your mouth shut. It's what Solomon said. Not just trying to repeat it to you. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Which are you? Are you the person that makes cutting remarks? Critical, negative? Or are your words that which tries to bring healing and encouragement and help? Some of you probably heard, you got a C on that report card. You know, your brother got an A last year on that same test. Well, there's some cutting words. You might as well say, you're not really that good, are you? You might as well just tell them that's what they're thinking. Deadly poison. Hiding hatred makes you a liar. It is so good to see you at church today. I've been missing you. I love you so much. And then in Sunday school class, you talk about them like a dog. You liar. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Over and over again, he's saying, you know, you just don't need to talk so much. Well, I just want you to know, Pastor, God has convicted me of that, and that's why I have turned to Instagram. If James was alive today, he would include Instagram, texting, Facebook, letter writing, whatever else. It's the same thing. It's just more cowardly. I would rather for you to rent a billboard going into Vinton and on that billboard say, our pastor is a bum. I would rather you do that than go on social media and say things because it gets out to a whole lot more people. I got to calm down a minute. Just gave me an extra 10 minutes. Do you love what God loves? Do you really? Do you really love what God loves? And do you hate what God hates? Listen to what Proverbs says. These are seven things that the Lord hates. He detests haughty eyes, a lying tongue, that deals with the mouth. Hands that kill innocent blood, a heart that plots evil, that deals with the mouth. Feet that race to wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, that deals with the mouth. And a person who sows discord in a family, and that deals with conversation. Four of the seven things, I think, can be loosely tied to our speech. And if churches are being destroyed by people's words, and you've been a part of a church, and I've been a part of a church, or we've known churches that have split, and the reason for the split, when it comes down to it, are what people said to each other. And it sows discord. And it rips the church apart. And James says, brothers and sisters, these things ought not be. You stop it. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let me close. Control your tongue. No man can control his tongue. So what's the answer? In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah He remembered the place and the time. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His robe filled the temple. And I saw the seraphim flying around the throne of God, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the earth is filled with His glory. Their words caused the foundation of the temple to shake, and the building was filled with smoke. Then I said, Lord, it's over for me. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst a people of unclean lips. You see, in the Bible, when people saw the holiness of God, they immediately saw their own sinfulness. And though no man can tame the tongue, the Holy Spirit of God can. But I think the issue is we must stay and be concentrated and be conscious of the holiness of God. And sometimes we can get so taken with our family and with our careers and with serving God that we're doing all these things that in and of themselves are good, but we're not taking time to be with God and meditate on His holiness, which automatically shows us our sinfulness. And I think Isaiah, when he saw the holiness of God, he didn't come back from heaven and write a book. He didn't say he jumped with joy. He, like everybody in Scripture did, they bowed on their knees in humility and repentance of their sin. And he said, God, I am not worthy to be used of You. The things that I have said have been destructive, and I'm sorry, and I'm throwing in the towel, and I'm wrapping it up. I'm no use to You because of the things that I've said. And then a seraphim went to the altar and picked a burning coal and placed it upon my lips and said to me, Thy guilt is removed and Thy sins are forgiven. And that's exactly where he needed the cleansing. He needed the cleansing in his mouth and his words and his lips, and he knew that. And God knew that. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God will come to us like a fire and say, you shouldn't say that. You should say that. You shouldn't do that. You should do that. And in the mercy and the grace of God, he didn't say, Isaiah, you're right. You're done. He said, who will go to my people and give them my message? And the very guy who said, it's over, said, here am I, Lord. Send me. And the same mouth that gave forth cursings gave forth blessings. It's within your heart. And it's within your relationship with God to control your tongue. We've got many parts of our life that needs to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And our conversations and our words are part of that. And it flows from our heart. And our words can be like a deadly poison set on fire by the flame of hell. And it can sow discord and destruction. And we must tame our tongues by the power of the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for Your Word. And all of us today need to heed what James tells us. It might be a neighbor. It might be somebody on a ball team. It might be a coach. It might be somebody at church. It might be somebody at work. It might be a relative. But man, we're so guilty of gossiping and saying things we shouldn't say and tearing people down and destroying people. May we learn the lesson from the dandelion and realize that we can't always take back everything we've said. Now, on the hearer's part, that's a whole separate issue, but on the speaker's part, there's things we need to take to heart and learn. And may we do it from the glory of God. May we not be guilty of, on the one hand, praising God, and on the other hand, blaspheming those who are created in His image. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I called several of you last night about helping with a verification list. We need about 3 or 4 more that can help us with that. I'm going to meet with you down front for just about 5 or 10 minutes and give you the instructions. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Then you didn't get a call. Okay? But those who did know who I'm talking about. If I can meet with you briefly, if we have 3 or 4 more that would help make some phone calls and check some information, you can meet with me. I'll give you all the information you need today. Good day. The Lord bless you. Watch your tongue.